Bob Sugarman.
And Sally Sugarman.
Welcome back to Theater Talk.
Today we want to talk about The Hills Are Alive with Rodgers and Hammerstein.
This is currently, through this weekend, through the 29th, under a tent at Barrington Stage. It is an exciting show. And by show, I mean it's a collection of Rodgers and Hammerstein's music. And it's more than just a collection. It really is a structured show. Julie Boyd, the director, working with her longtime music director, Darren Cohn, has put this together. She's done this before. On Broadway, she put together the musical Ubi, based on the music of Ubi Blake. And so you go and you feel not that you've been to a concert, but that you've been to a show.
Yes, I think that's the thing that was so exciting about it. And there were these different elements, and each one, each song was like a production of its own, a play of its own. But one of the things that I found delightful was, we've been talking about the theater in the times of a pandemic, and actually, Barrington Stage has sort of been a pioneer in how to deal with this in terms of meeting all the guidelines. I mean, we were socially distanced, we were wearing masks, we were in a tent, we were outside. I mean, but then when Julie came up and introduced us, she had this big stick when she came up on the stage, and she explained that they'd used this stick, which was 6 feet long, in rehearsal. And then they proceeded to use it in some of the songs in a way that was so delightful.
Because the actors do not wear masks.
Right. But what was but they're 25 feet away from the audience, which Julie had made a point of telling us all, so that it was all very safe. But there was a delightful humor in sort of dealing with this coronavirus that we're all dealing with humor and using it in the songs. I mean, there's one moment, we don't want to give away all of the delightful aspects of each of the songs, but there is one moment when they are dancing with the stick that is just so delightful.
And even when they're dancing without the stick, they're dancing but 6 feet apart.
Yeah, and it was just, and then there was this wonderful moment when one of them says, it's so wonderful to be with live...
Nicholas Rodriguez, one of the singers.
Yeah, he says to be, have a live audience, to be performing before a live audience.
With live musicians.
With live musicians and with other people. I mean, it just, there was a magic to it all.
There was a joy to the whole evening, like, wow, we really can do this, and we're doing it. And the cast was wonderful. It was three women and two men. Two of them, one of the men and one of the women, we had seen before. But they were all, each was very special, very unique, and each could have carried a whole evening by themselves, I think. They were just very strong.
But one of the things that I think that you said when we were coming home was that, in a sense, it gave us a new perspective on the particular songs that we'd sort of, as you said, we'd sort of taken for granted, and then they sort of did come alive.
But more than that, it sort of gave it, I mean, in the age of Sondheim and his descendants, we sort of can say, well, Rodgers and Hammerstein, yeah, they were good in their day. But then you confront their music, and it's really, really good. We once interviewed the composer, William Finn. We started talking about Richard Rodgers, and he said, I'd march to my death to the music of Richard Rodgers.
Well, but
in Hammerstein's lyrics are deceptively simple, but they can range from the very folksy, like, I just can't say no, to very romantic, and to very, very insightful and social statements.
Well, for example, when they did You Have to Be Carefully Taught, it was very applicable at this point in our social history. And we do have to remember that they did change that with Oklahoma, the American musical changed forever.
Well, Hammerstein did that twice. In 1927, he was partly responsible for Showboat, which brought a whole new dimension to American musicals.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think we have to really appreciate the contributions that these two people made. And again, as we said, we sort of take them for granted. I mean, I think that when I was growing up in New York and going to theater, it was sort of like the theater was dominated by the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical and plays by Arthur Miller and Tennessee Williams. And theater has changed since then. And what I kept thinking as I was reflecting on this, that theater is again going to change after this pandemic. And one of the things that you felt seeing this show was hope about the future of theater. Because there's something so special about theater. Okay, you're in an audience and you're 6 feet apart, but you're in an audience with other people, and you and the other people are enjoying it together, are responding together, are a part of this, and you and the actors are working together. I mean, it's just...
And that's the magic of it, and that's what can't be reproduced. This morning on the radio, I heard on a business program, there had been a survey of CEOs of many corporations, and they were saying that after the pandemic, their whole way of operation will be changed. There'll be much more, much less use of offices, much more off-site people working at home. We've been transformed by this craziness that we're going through. And in theater, too, who knows what's going to come out.
But the element that has to and will stay the same, because it has stayed the same over time as we look at the history of theater, and that is an audience together with the actors creating a very special experience, a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Yes, they're going to do the show again and again and again, but it's going to be with a different audience, and that's going to change it. And we know that because actors always tell us that, but you feel it, and it was so exciting to be there.
The technical elements of the performance were just amazing. It was under a tent. There was very subtle lighting. It was very good. The sound was fine. You could hear everything very well. And there was choreography. A very experienced choreographer who's worked there before and worked everywhere provided just another dance that they filled this really awkward stage. It's a very wide stage, the whole width of the tent. And the technical elements just worked so well.
But one of the things I thought as I was watching it was the way in which the actors and the singers, and these singers are not just singers, they're also actors. And that's part of what makes a musical theater. But the way they moved their bodies was just wonderful. I mean, one of them was quite a skilled and beautiful dancer, but they all moved their bodies so appropriately for the particular song they were singing. And it was just, it's just, you see so many elements at one time, and you take them in, and it's so exciting. There's nothing like live theater.
And I was looking for costume credit. There's no costume credit. I guess they were pretty much wearing their own clothes. But there was, what was wonderful is five people were so unique, so there were no two of them were alike. And they each brought a perspective to the music that was quite wonderful, of their own very distinct personalities.
But you also felt that the directorial hand of Julie Boyd that brought them together, that brought out their particular qualities and creativity, and each song had such a special resonance. And we really had a wonderful evening, much different than we expected.
And Storm Lever, who is this tiny African-American lady, maybe is a size 3, when she sang "You've Got to Be Taught to Hate" from South Pacific, it had special value, and it was very beautiful. And when Alan Green, who is also African-American, but very large, when he sang Edelweiss, he said how he had grown up watching the movie and enjoying the song, and
not quite understanding it.
And now he understood what it was to live in a country that you love that doesn't love you.
Yeah, it was just, it was beautiful. And you realize that this is one of the things that Hammerstein had contributed, as he did with Showboat. I mean, there's a social aspect to the Rodgers and Hammerstein music, which I think we really appreciated, both in terms of the particular songs, but then reflecting on the experience that we'd had with these musicals. I mean, it gave us a fresh perspective, I thought, on Rodgers and Hammerstein, because, again, as you said, we sort of have taken them for granted, and yeah, they were history, but the history came alive.
With the Sound of Music.
Yes, with the Sound of Music. It was just wonderful.
So there isn't much time left. By the time you hear this, there will not be much time at all. It ends on the 29th. So if you can possibly get there, do. And you have to call ahead, get your reservation ahead. You'll get a program through the mail. And when you arrive, all of the protocols are observed. They take your temperature, you clean your hands with sanitizer, and the seating is arranged so there's spacing between everyone. So on every level, it's a lovely evening, and in these days, a rare evening to experience live theater.
And the show starts at 6 o'clock, so it really is, it's 71 minutes, and 71 delightful minutes without an intermission. And one of the things that they've shown at Barrington Stage, that even in an emergency situation like we have, you can find a way to respect and take care of your performers and your audience and still create a very special evening in the theater.
So by all means, if you can possibly fit it in your schedule, do.
And remember that there are not a lot of seats, because again, what this theater has done, which is quite remarkable, because, you know, theaters get a lot of their money from the selling of tickets, and the selling of tickets is very limited because they are observing.
I think shows like this are more advertisements for the theater than money-making things. They have to be underwritten by people who are supporting the theater.
And that's the wonderful thing, that fortunately Barrington Stage has some fine underwriters.
And Julia Boyd, who we have gotten to know over the years and interviewed her a number of times, is not only a wonderful director, she's a wonderful entrepreneur, and she finds a way to make these things work. I said to her, "You're the unsinkable Molly Brown." And she said, "What'd she say?"
I still have fight left in me. And she certainly has. I mean, it's a wonderful example of how theater will continue to survive. And we all want theater to survive. It's an important part of our lives.
So, a good place to end.
Right. Be sure to get there if you can.